The Gary Sharp Show. Mailbag presented by Oscar's Pizza and Sports Grill. Home of the Big O Pizza and Charbuffed Wings.
Next week we get Tiger playing golf with his kid. It makes me happy.
There's a question in the mailbag about that.
About Tiger?
Yeah.
There will be a lot of interested people watching Tiger and his son play in Orlando next week. Well, whoa, I like this.
It's crunchy.
I got a little rumor for you.
Ooh.
So have you been down to the Millwork area? Right there around the TD Ameritrade ballpark? Cross Train is open up there. There's some new businesses, some apartment living. Like, the area is going to take off.
Good.
Really nice area. It's kind of obscured from when you're driving down coming. Okay. But that area has got a bright future. Possibly there could be a soccer stadium in that neighborhood.
I read that this morning.
Used by Union Omaha. Okay.
Look at that flex from the champions.
That would be, you would probably open the door to a new audience. They got a great response when they played at Morrison Stadium.
Yeah.
Bring it into the city. If you had a soccer-only stadium where you got out of Warner Park, I know the Kansas City Royals would appreciate that, and you had, it was just soccer-only, and you could do everything else you do, you know, if you're building a factory or whatever goes into the development of Union Omaha, in a soccer-only stadium, I think they would see another boost in the attention they get in the butts and seats. We've seen that in, like, the MLS, these amazing soccer-only stadiums that are being opened. I know there was a funny yesterday because Charlotte is going to have an MLS team, and right now they're going to be playing in the Panthers stadium.
Oh, that's a big house.
They're like, well, this is not how it's supposed to work. But I think a soccer-only stadium for Union Omaha in this town would be such a huge boost to them.
I know there's a lot of people that'll hear that and go, oh, another stadium, everybody doesn't need their own building. Well, this is a professional team. They do kind of need their own complex. They can't share it with Creighton. They can't, even though that's a beautiful one not too far away, but yeah, they're a professional team. They're a champion.
They have their own stadium. Season starts like in March. It ends in November.
Yeah.
Let the Storm Chasers have Warner Park, and let us baseball people have Warner Park. Get soccer out of there, okay? I don't need to be watching a baseball game where I've got the midfield stripe running behind second base. Or hear all of the Kansas City Royal people bitch about soccer being played at Warner Park. Even though, for what they had to do, it's not a bad place to watch a soccer match. But having their own stadium, because Des Moines is building their own stadium. You know, you look what they have in KC, what they have up in the Twin Cities. I think it would be a huge anchor for that neighborhood because, you know, TD Ameritrade, you get the slew of Creighton home baseball games. And Creighton just announced their baseball schedule today, by the way. And then you get the College World Series. But after that, the place is dark. Nothing goes on there. Mm-hmm. You'd at least have a tenant that would bring, 20 home matches?
Yeah. A lot of people in the area in the summer.
And that area is, again, that's like the next hot area. What area is not a hot area in this town? It was Midtown for a while, and then it became Exarban Village, and then it was Blackstone.
Just wait 5 years. Your area will be hot if it is not hot right now.
Then it's out west. Mm-hmm. We're just building communities out west.
Yeah. We're growing, baby.
And where are all these people coming from?
I have no idea.
I ask that on a daily basis. There are homes being built, and I'm wondering, where are people coming from? Not like we're just welcoming in Fortune 500 companies. We have to close the borders to the Fortune 500 companies that are leaving. All right. So that's something to watch. I could see Gary Green orchestrating something like that, and I think it would be great for the future of Union Omaha. But as of right now, it is only a rumor. There are a lot of rumors of things that are coming to the Millwork, which are kind of exciting.
Love a good rumor.
Well, you're in the right business in the right city.
Yeah.
All right, it is time for the mailbag. They're brought to you by Oscar's Pizza and Grill. Two great locations, 173rd and Center. You know, I'm wondering. So, of the times I've been out to Oscar's at 173rd and Center, which is the only dine-in location, the Darren DeVries family has been there. Like, I've seen them a couple of times. They used to live out in that part of the city. Do you think that he went to Oscar's last night? Now that he's back in town, because Drake and Omaha play at 8 o'clock tonight at Baxter Arena. If the head coach of Drake, former Creighton assistant, I wouldn't hesitate if I was Nebraska and I had an opening in basketball. If he can go there, you can as well. And you can go there on us. The best submission in the mailbag wins a gift card. Or just go there on your own and tell them that Josh and Gary sent you. Not sure what that'll get you, but might get a... Okay.
They'll know what it means.
173rd and Center, Charbuff Wings, the Big O Pizza, or carryout only, a great convenient location, 162nd and Maple. They are good friends on the mailbag. It comes your way every Wednesday at noon. You've got mail.
Well, I told you we had a piece of Tiger mail. And I'm a man of my word, so we'll do that first. Tiger Woods returning to action, announced today he's going to play with his son. When, next week, you said?
Yes, next weekend in Orlando.
Okay.
The PNC Championship.
Expectations.
Only 10 months after the car accident.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the question.
That's
the expectations?
Questions. Feels a little soon.
It does. But let's be honest. I couldn't have been the only one. I know I wasn't. That got a little bit giddy in that little 3-4 second video he tweeted out of him swinging a club. Did you turn on the sound?
I didn't.
My ball striking does not sound like that. You can tell, like, great players, like in golf, just the sound that the club head makes with the ball. It sounds different. You go and watch batting practice in an empty stadium and you hear the crack of a bat. Some guys, the ball coming off the bat sounds completely different.
Huh, what am I doing wrong? Doesn't sound like that.
Or listen to a guy or gal shooting a basketball and then it just goes through the net. The net doesn't even move.
Mm-hmm.
I may have watched that video a lot. But I turned up the sound and said, Tiger's back. His expectations. Playing in that event with his son, Charlie. I just want to see him. Just see him swing the club freely. No issues. Doesn't favor his leg. It'd just be nice to see him out there playing.
It's for him. It's not for us.
Yeah.
He's playing to play with his son.
That's where he almost lost his leg to be 10 months later. I just want to see him play.
Yeah.
I don't care how he does. Just swing and swing freely. I mean, we've already conditioned ourselves. We're never going to see the vintage Tiger. Now, I'm not ready to have him not be in our golf life anymore. And he's going to cut way back. And he already kind of was. But if he's just, if he follows like the Koepka plan. Koepka doesn't play every event. He just gears up for the majors.
Yeah.
And he'll play events here and there. If that's what Tiger's going to do, I'm fine with it. I'm not ready to say, thanks, Tiger. And we want one more tease.
Mm-hmm.
Where he gives you the glimpse of, oh my gosh, that's Tiger. And is in contention in a major. We're greedy. April, I would take one more Tiger playing in the final pairings on Sunday.
Right. This is kind of a, well, how do I feel after playing a little golf? How far away am I from saying, yes, I can play in that very large tournament in April? Right?
And he's not going to put himself through the whole robust of preparing for a pretty healthy PGA Tour schedule. Maybe at this stage in his life, because he'll be 46. He's going to be 46 this month.
Mm.
Wasn't he born on Christmas? He's either 46 or 47, I believe.
He is 45. He'll be 46 on the 30th.
Okay. I had the month right and kind of the age. That maybe playing fewer events, he'll gear his body up and so he can give it all over 4 days. But any Tiger playing in an event, when it's on television, we're going to stop. And just, can you kind of hang on a little bit longer?
Give me that red and black on the attack. Can he scare some of these young whippersnappers into giving up a lead?
Will he use a cart?
Can he? I don't think he can.
But will they make an exception here?
Maybe this weekend. Or next weekend, I guess.
His son will steal the show.
Yeah.
At some point, Tiger will be like an afterthought.
Yeah.
But I imagine they let him ride in a cart. See, that's the other part of... When he's ready to come back, can he walk 18 holes?
Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting. Can we gamble on it? You can gamble on this, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Josh, you can gamble on anything.
Let's get a little action, make it a little more interesting.
I mean, it's a little bit, his son Charlie blows a putt and I'm screaming at a teenager.
Yes, how old is this kid? Can I be yelling at and critiquing this child? Or is it in poor taste?
I don't know. A lot of people are upset at Omaha West Side and they're kind of kids.
Nah, you can't be yelling at high school kids.
You screwed me out of money! I took you on the money line!
Charlie's gonna take my thumbs! Anyway, Jamie writes us and says, it's almost a given that because of the national titles he has won, I do not know how many of his teams finished the season unbeaten. I think we're talking about T.O. here, not Terrell Owens. All of Tom's titles and all but one of Nebraska's five title teams finished unbeaten and untied. My question is, how many titles do you think Tom could have won, or Nebraska in general, if the four-team playoff was around and losing one game would not have eliminated you from title contention?
Maybe one in the 90s. So the 94... but probably, I mean, they were playing for national championship anyhow. If I'm looking in the 80s, there's probably two or three opportunities in there where Nebraska didn't play for the national championship, but they were certainly one of the top four teams in the country when you got to bowl season.
An interesting hypothetical.
Yep. I mean, it would not have been a year gone by where, a long stretch where Nebraska was not in a playoff, a four-team playoff, or, what is proposed as a 12-team playoff. I miss, though, the one and done. Or you split title. You paid a lot of attention to Washington State playing, Arizona State playing. They had I was reminded, back in the days of the BCS or... your path to the championship was a little bit more limited. The ACC Network. Oh, I had it on the other night, watching a bunch of basketball. They had a special on the Virginia Georgia Tech 1990 game.
I don't immediately recall that.
How could you not? Herman Moore was a wide receiver for Virginia. Remember Herman Moore? Probably not.
I do not.
Okay.
I was born in 85.
So this was Bobby Ross against George Welch. And these were, Virginia was number one in the country. Now, the only reason I remember this, and Georgia Tech wins the game with 7 seconds remaining. It is the same day that Nebraska and Colorado were playing in Lincoln. Mickey Joseph is the starting quarterback. It was also back then where, you know, the score updates didn't happen as rapidly.
Yes.
They would have the old scoreboard on the north end of Memorial Stadium. And all it had was that little dot matrix message board. But it was just a very generic scoreboard. And Virginia Tech and or Virginia and Georgia Tech were playing on the same day. And they would periodically update the score that would show you that Virginia was getting beat while Nebraska was winning. And the response from the crowd. You know, now you go to a game, basketball game, football game. They've got on the ribbon board, it just constantly is updating.
Mm-hmm. Or you can just shout to someone near you, hey, what's the score of the blah, blah game?
But it used to be in Memorial Stadium, there would be a big buildup to when they started showing scores during a timeout. But they made a case to show it because you would also have the PA announcer would announce the scores. Mm-hmm. Score update from Charlottesville, Virginia. And they'd show it and the place would go nuts. I don't know why that's just our most random thought here.
Times were different. Kids won't understand.
Oh, no. They don't understand what we did before texting, what we did before instant replay, what we did before these incredible video boards. Oh, my God, you guys just sat there and watched the game and the band played and you cheered? You didn't have like a Pepsi race or, you know, you didn't have moments in Husker history or you didn't have somebody on the floor in basketball golfing into a hole to win a golf vacation? No, we sat there. We watched the game. When there was timeouts, we discussed the game. We cheered. The band was more involved.
You didn't know what was on each TV channel when you turned the channel? You had to sit and watch a grid roll over to the channel you were looking for? And inevitably, whenever you turned to that channel, you had just missed the channel you were looking for, so you have to sit for it to scroll all the way around. Yes, that's how I grew up.
2 weeks ago, I had a discussion with someone that they were being kind, like not saying, hey, you're old. But they're like, what did you do before texting? And it was kind of, they were in a relationship. And they're like, you know what, we just text back and forth. We gram each other. Like, what the hell is that? I said, yeah, we passed notes, we called people, went to their house, knocked on their door.
Mm-hmm.
Like, nowadays, that would be considered, like, you wouldn't do that.
Well, stalkerish.
Yeah. And see, back then it wasn't, you weren't considered a stalker.
You were courting.
Yeah.
You're putting in effort.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, it's so much better then. Nebraska football didn't cause pains in the asses. Hey, but one quick thing on Jamie's thing, because I think this might be the same or different, Jamie. We're talking about how sports influence your life. It is entertainment, and you're not supposed to make it about your entire life. But it does ruin your mood. Sports has such an impact on your mood, for the good or the bad. If your team played awful last night and they quit, you were angry. You probably went to bed angry last night. You're probably angry still to this day and trying to figure out what is going on. It takes us through the roller coaster of life, influencing our mood.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I try and not take as much stock in these Nebraska teams, but it's hard.
I'm fearful, though, that especially in this state where Nebraska football is like the center pivot, when it used to be rare for Nebraska to lose when I first moved to the state, and they did, Sundays were miserable. Like, people didn't go out.
Mm-hmm.
Then they would show up on Monday and they would still be like walking in a fog. to some people, that's still the case.
Mm-hmm.
But it's become more regular now where it's like, well, okay, I'm over it by breakfast on Sunday. Move on.
Yeah. It's a little easier to take now, unfortunately. Or maybe I've matured.
Or maybe you have other things in your life.
Maybe.
Not saying that you should not have sports in your life. It's just it's how powerful sports is to your complete mood. And especially football. Football probably more than any other sport. How what your team does on Saturdays or Sundays, how it affects you. Look at, if your team doesn't play well on Saturday night, what do you do? Or well on Saturday, what do you do on Saturday night? You probably just shut her down.
Mm-hmm. I don't really feel like going out for dinner, honey. I just kind of want to sit. Nah, not feeling it.
I've done it plenty of times. Hey, got plans on Sunday night after a Chiefs game. They lost. I'm not going out.
Yeah,
what do you
absolutely.
Mean? No, I'm not going out. I'm not happy.
Titans lost to the Jets. Don't really feel like going out for wings.
Now, I hope your wife understood that. I think she's probably you're farther along in your marriage, that she gets it.
She understands. At times, thinks it's silly, but she does understand that a loss to the Jets is crippling.
Yes, that's true.
There are some things she understands.
She's probably like, I'm going to go out. You can stay home because your team is bad.
She's a Steelers fan. She was elated on Sunday.
Well, that's good.
Cost me a 17 parlay. She didn't seem to care about that.
Ooh, that's a different balance there because that could have, you guys could have gone to Sizzler.
Could have paid for the dinner. I got a feeling I can guess Adam's mood about the current Nebraska athletics situation. He writes in, the year is 2025. Who is the football coach and basketball coach at the University of Nebraska?
Now, am I being a realistic of who my choice is?
Adam did not set any parameters whatsoever.
So I don't believe I don't believe Scott Frost or Fred Hoiberg will be here to begin the 2025 season.
I agree.
So we're 3 years away. Basketball? We all have a wish list. And he won't be in Des Moines. He might be at Kansas State next year. Who knows? Darren DeVries. He would be one of my first calls.
Okay. I have no idea who you would get as a basketball coach after Hoiberg. And that's not a keep him because you don't know who you're going to get thing. That's just I have no idea who you would reach out to. I mean, I guess a group of five. Mid-level, mid-major team. Hey, would come up and coach Power Five?
There would be people in the business that would go, man, if he can't get it going there, is it just a program that's doomed?
That's an NBA guy with NBA experience, came home, rocking arena.
Like, even to be 500.
Good recruiting.
Mm-hmm. So if he can't do it, man, is that a place where I go to kill my career? Okay, this isn't a good conversation here.
Especially today.
Is Nebraska football and men's basketball career killing jobs? And there's no in between because either they're going to kill your career or they are going to make your career golden. There is no in between.
Football, yes. I think you could convince a lot of people, well, it didn't work at Nebraska because it's Nebraska for basketball.
That's the easy out.
Yeah.
Now, there are more excuses that are being eliminated because of your investment financially and your arena that you play in and your facilities.
No reason not to, pretty much.
So let's look at basketball real quick on what you did post your Nebraska career. Danny went to Pittsburgh, worked at Duquesne and Robert Morris. and never got back to where he had his height at Nebraska. Barry Collier went back to Indianapolis and became athletic director. Doc Sadler came back to Nebraska as an assistant coach and along the way went to Southern Miss. Tim Miles didn't work out. Now, he's out at San Jose State. Actually, they're probably better. I asked Coach Miles this summer when I saw him when he was in Omaha recruiting, and he said, we have a chance. You know, if we get 10, 11 wins, I think they're probably better than they are, but you went from Nebraska to San Jose State. Now, look at football. Frank Solich, Nebraska to Ohio. Could you make a case that Frank's Ohio career was better than his Nebraska career? Played in a national championship game. Had a team that probably could have won the national championship in 99. Did win the Big 12 championship. Maybe that's a stretch. Bill Callahan. Bill Callahan went back to the place where he should have been the entire time.
Yeah.
Best offensive line coach in the NFL, bar none. Bo Pelini. Killed his career. And then he probably killed it on his own. Mike Riley. So this is one end of the spectrum to the other, and there's no in between. Nebraska football and Nebraska men's basketball will either completely kill your career or it will give you, if you want, the keys to anything.
Yeah. You've shown your work on this, yes.
Like, if it doesn't work out for Scott, he goes into the OC rehab plan.
Yep.
And he ends up at a big-name school as the offensive coordinator, and then he gets his next shot at a low Power 5 job or a Group of 5.
Yep, absolutely.
Fred maybe goes back to the NBA as an executive.
Yeah.
There's no in-between. It's either going to kill your career or they will build a statue.
Yeah, like Scott, if it doesn't work out for Scott here, he's not going to like, "Ooh, Virginia Tech hired me." Like, no. You're going to rehab with a friend, work your way back up, see if the pressure of working at home frees you.
A different place, different part of the country. The way... In regards to football, who knows what the carousel will look like 3 years down the road.
But you know there will always be a carousel.
Yes, there will. What odds could I get right now if on the odds on both the football and men's basketball coach will be the same coach in 2025? Now, that's a whole different conversation where things are headed in the right direction. Everything's above board. Success.
Yeah, you could probably get pretty long odds on that. We move completely away from sports for Craig's question. He heard you discussing the hit television program Seinfeld the other day. Favorite Seinfeld episode?
Oh, wow.
A little like asking your favorite child.
See, we could be here for a while.
We could do...
And I could do like the each season.
Ooh. I always liked the backwards episode most. I just thought it was clever.
I think my favorite, so I did like the Soup Nazi.
Mm-hmm.
There was an episode, season 5, The Library, The Parking Garage, The Chinese Restaurant, The Contest, which was in season 4. My all-time favorite?
Your face is pain.
Well, because I don't think I've ever said, man, that's my all-time favorite. There was an episode in season 8 that was called The Comeback. It was the George the Jerk store.
Yes.
Jerry buys a tennis racket from somebody who doesn't know. Mm-hmm. Turns out to be terrible at tennis. That's a great question. Festivus would be one.
It's coming up. It's that time of year.
Yeah, Kenny Rogers Chicken.
Come on, no sleep.
When they went to the Hamptons.
You gotta see the baby.
Shrinkage! Probably Jerry and Elaine on the deal.
Mm-hmm, yes. Yeah.
Casual sexual relationship, got some ground rules. We've all been there.
Let's make it a rule.
I could go. I know what it would probably be easier to tell you my least favorite.
Ooh, yeah, let's do that.
And that's
too.
The last one.
The last one. Okay.
Didn't like the last one.
Didn't like the last one. The one where a lot of the early episodes I don't care for. I don't like the stock market guy went to the bathroom and they thought he was doing coke or something like that. I just didn't think it was very funny. The premise is there.
Ed says, what about The Outing?
The Outing.
It was season 4. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Okay. Oh, yes. Okay. I had a different version of the word outing in my head. Like, oh, yeah, they went lots of places.
There's one episode where Elaine dated a communist.
Yes. The one where Jerry and George are in the Nazi limo. I didn't care for that one.
See, we could go on and on. Mm-hmm. Great radio. Mulva. it's the show that has been off the air for what, 23 years?
Yeah,
and the staying
97.
Power, the staying power of Seinfeld. How you can watch an episode, mm-hmm. and the Fox affiliate here carries it 11 o'clock, back-to-back episodes. Simultaneously, Comedy Central's got 2 episodes going, and it's got staying power. It's still funny.
It's on Netflix right now.
I have not worked my way through, but I have seen every episode at least twice.
Yes. A lot of those jokes still land.
They do.
Even though a lot of the episodes, a cell phone would have gone a long way in eliminating the problems that they experienced.
It just reminds you back in the 90s, things we had that are much different today.
Uh-huh.
Like the phone, the cordless phone.
Gotta check my machine.
Yes. And how easy it was to get on an airplane back then. We could break this down into the best sports-centric Seinfeld episodes.
Okay.
Where Kramer became a ball boy at the U.S. Open.
Keith Hernandez.
Keith Hernandez is the legendary one.
Mm-hmm. That is one powerful loogie.
Good. Thank you. Yes, Hockey Dad, master of my domain, is in there.
Good mailbag day.
Yes. That is, that was season 4. Season 4 was really, really good. So, I think the name of the episode was The Contest in the Master of My Domain. That was where Elaine almost landed a date with JFK Jr.
John John.
And Jerry was dating a virgin. And you know what? Credit to that episode that they went an entire storyline without using the word that they were trying to avoid.
Yeah.
And yet everybody knew what they were talking about.
Very clever writing.
Yeah. All right. You ever seen Seinfeld stand-up?
I have. I saw him at the Orpheum a few years ago. I loved it. I love his stand-up. I love comedians in cars getting coffee.
Which is, I mean, he has, and he's, you know, the one thing about, like, Jerry Seinfeld, and all of them, except for Kramer, have still been in the spotlight doing their own shows or other projects. But Jerry Seinfeld is, like, still Jerry Seinfeld. Same guy. He just doesn't have a show that he's doing.
Yeah. I got nice sneakers and a nice car, but pretty much the same guy.
And I'm glad that they've never done a reboot.
Yeah, I don't need a reunion. I don't need any specials.
You're not Friends.
Yeah.
You're not Sex in the City, which apparently comes out tomorrow. Yeah. Then they do a bunch of movies, and now they're back again without Kim Cattrall.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm glad that Seinfeld never said, you know what, there's so much, everybody loved the show. Let's start it up again.
Didn't go extra seasons just to keep cash and checks.
Oh, I don't think they need to add extra seasons. I think right now they're cashing checks. That Netflix deal was kind of big.
Yeah. I'm sure everybody got a piece.
You'll be able to buy, you know, an extra meal or two from that check that you get from Netflix deal with Seinfeld.
Netflix, not notoriously stingy with the checkbook.
No.
Yep.
Now I'm going to fight with Bill here. He says, what do you mean the worst episode was the last one? That was what I said. The last episode, in my opinion, was the worst one.
I understand the hate that the last episode gets. I do not feel that way about it, but I understand it.
Question in the mailbag.
We'll do it next week.
We will do it next week. We do it every Wednesday. Congratulations to our winner. Josh will select the winner. You'll win a gift card to Oscar's Pizza and Grill. 173rd and Center or 162nd and Maple. About an hour, we'll check in with Parker Gabriel. We'll get his thoughts on the process that led to Donovan Raiola and Mark Whipple joining Mickey Joseph. Now what happens next? Is it just Bill Bush is elevated to special teams coordinator? And they go with an analyst as a running back coach. Doesn't that seem kind of odd? But there, of all of the openings for, what, 3 weeks in this process? There are names for offensive coordinator. There were names for offensive line coach. There really was no names once Mickey Joseph was put out there. There have been absolutely nobody attached to running back, which just kind of answers the question that it will maybe be more of an analyst role. No traction. The other question I have about coaches, Travis Fisher has been kind of quiet. This is usually go time. Travis Fisher is wrapping up his connections. Travis Fisher's been really, really quiet. You have not gotten like intel on where he is and what he's doing and who he's recruiting. It's been really, really quiet for somebody who is pretty important this time of the year. All right, 12:44. It's the Gary Sharp Show with Josh in 1620 The Zone.